do things from here. We do appreciate your being here. A lot of families, friends are with us today. Others are still away from us. We still have some that are sick. We have a lot of sinus and congestion trouble going around, and seeing that's a kind of the common issue today. So Chase is home sick this morning, and so we know a lot of others that are in that situation. So we need to pray for them and others that we mentioned on our prayer list just a moment ago. So let's go to our Father in prayer before our lesson today. Lord, we're thankful that we have been blessed to be here today, and we're thankful for this week of Thanksgiving. We know it's not a week that, or a day that we should think, just a day we should think about those things, but your word teaches us that we should be thankful in all things, in every way, in every day, that even in the worst of times, there are things in those moments to be thankful for. It is in our darkest times that we often see the support of friends exhibited. It's in our darkest times when we see your love for us and the resources you give us to see through those events. We know that there are many who are sick today and could not be with us, some who are traveling due to the holiday season, and we pray that you would heal those who are sick and bring safety to those who are traveling. We pray that you will continue to bless us here at Pleasant View, that you will bless each family represented here, each soul that is in this place, so that we can be more faithful and more like Christ. We know we have just a few days on this earth in which to live. We pray that we use these days well, that we use these days to your glory, and that we can stand before you one day as faithful servants, having been washed by the blood of Christ, able to enter into heaven. We're thankful for the mercy and grace that's only found in your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Every now and then, I like to revisit some lessons that we've dealt with before for every few years. And I think there are themes that we need to go over again because they happen so often in life. Life, as Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, life repeats. He said there's really nothing new under the sun. What goes around comes around. And Ecclesiastes 3 talked about there's a time to plant, and the time to reap the harvest, the time to be born, time to die. All those things he mentions in Ecclesiastes 3 have happened before, and they will keep happening as long as man is on this earth. He said everything has its time, has its place, has its season. What goes around comes around. Life really is kind of a circle. Well, when it comes to life, it is one that is filled with disappointments. And so it's an issue we have to talk about from time to time, and how to handle disappointments, how to deal with disappointments. And the disappointments we often face are a lot more serious than somebody barely missing a putt on a golf course, or barely missing a hole-in-one, coming up just short. But even though that's not as serious, that really is how life is. We feel like we've come up just short. Wanted to get the job, we came up just short. Wanted to have a family a certain way, we came up just short. Wanted to have a certain amount of money, but we were just short. And it's crushing because often our hopes are a lot farther along than our reality, the way life really is. And so I want us to first start thinking about some common disappointments. We're disappointed, first of all, in our own failings. In Judas, in Matthew chapter 27, when he had realized what he had done, when he realized that he had sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, where he had given Jesus to the authorities to be killed. And he realized, I can't keep this money anymore. He went and threw it down at the feet of those who paid him. And he went out and unfortunately killed himself. He was extremely disappointed in himself, in his own failings. That's probably the most common disappointment of all. How come I can't be have more talent when you're in school to make a better grade? I wish I had more talent so that I could be on the football team or the basketball team or the baseball team or in some club that requires a certain amount of ability. I wish I could get that promotion. I wish I could have a salary job versus a wage job. That seems like you're kind of farther along professionally if you have a job like that. Even though pay is pay, money is money, and we shouldn't think of those distinctions like that, but we do. And we blame ourselves and say, I have failed in life because I could not advance farther in my profession. We get so disappointed in ourselves. We often look in the mirror and say, I am a failure. I am a failure. But failure is not a person. Failure is an event. To fail is something that happens to all of us, but a failure is never a person. You should never look at yourself and say, I am a failure. Well, the second most common disappointment is in the failings of other people. Probably parents see that the most and feel that the most when they look at their children and find a great deal of disappointment. You say, I have taught you this so many times over and over and over again, and I have put you in a position that you would not do that, and I try to discipline you to highlight the fact that you shouldn't do that, and surrounded you with all of these good things, and what did you do? But you did the opposite. And the parent looks in the mirror and says, I am so disappointed in my child, and now I feel disappointed in myself. Because I should have been a better parent. I should have done this instead of this. Where did I go wrong that they are this way? We can be, even Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 dealt with that when he looked at his own disciples, and not the only time, but he says, oh, you of little faith. Jesus was disappointed in the failings of his closest associates. You have seen me do so much. You have seen me perform miracles. You've seen me demonstrate that I'm the Son of God, and yet you say, where were you during this storm? How come you didn't stop it? Why were you, and they still were so anxious that they were going to be killed? Oh, you of little faith, why don't you have more faith? I suppose the Lord is still disappointed with us today. I suppose the Lord can still look down and say, oh, you of little faith. Why are you so anxious about this? Why are you so anxious about that? That reminds me of the time my apostles were in the boat and they were anxious. They were distressed. Why are you like that as well? And of course, we can be disappointed in our own lack of resources. If I had more, I could do more. And there is a point where that's true. We don't need to deny reality of life. If you have more money, you can do more things. You can give away more money. We know that's a reality of life, just on a financial resource. But God came to Moses at the burning bush and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to free my people and who are also your people. And immediately Moses says, I can't do that. You're asking me to give speeches, and I'm not good with speeches. I'm a shepherd. Moses is 80 years old. He'd never done anything like this in his life. He'd spent the last 40 years just tending sheep and living a normal life after fleeing from Egypt after committing a murder. And he says, I'm not a speech giver. I don't have the resources to do what you want me to do. And God said, of course, I'm going to send you Aaron. I'm going to send you the person to do the speaking and to help you in that. And not only that, I'm going to give you the message. I'm going to give you the words to say, and I'm going to give you the help you need to say them. There's not a commandment of Scripture that we cannot follow. You ever thought about that? God would be very cruel if he gave us a set of commandments, a set of ways to follow that we could not do. We physically or mentally could not follow. But there's not a single thing that God wants us to do that we can't do. And God told Moses, here's what I want you to do, and you can do it because I'm going to give you everything you need to do it. We're disappointed in ourselves, we're disappointed in other people, we're disappointed in our own lack of resources, but we're also greeted with some comments that fuel disappointment, sort of the gasoline that we pour on disappointment. It makes it worse. Because we'll say things like, I can be anything that I want to be. I can be anything I want to be. I tell young people that I can be anything that you can be anything that you want to be. Well, to me, that's setting somebody up for a great disappointment in life. Because God did not give every single person on this earth the ability to do every single thing they want to do. I'm not good at math. Wasn't going to be an astronaut. That's just something that was not going to be in my future. If I spent my whole life thinking that was what I was going to be, I would have a lifetime of disappointment. But we say things like, I can be anything I want to be. We just think we will ourselves to doing things. You can be anything you want to be, but, and this is what we need to tell young people, we need to tell ourselves, we look in the mirror, you can be everything that God made you to be. Now see, that's a little more attainable. That's something that doesn't fuel a future disappointment. To say you can be everything God made you to be. You can be anything that you just simply want to be, but you can be everything that God made you to be. Using every talent, using every resource, you can be exactly what God made you to be. We also say he will never do that. That's a fuel, something that'll fuel disappointment. We put people on a pedestal. We put our children on pedestals. We put our favorite person on a pedestal. We say, that person will never disappoint me. She will never do that. He will never do that. I'll never be disappointed in them. But at the same time, we'll say, oh yeah, nobody's perfect. Everybody sins. We'll have those same thoughts in the same day, and they don't go together. You should be proud of people. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. It's perfectly fine to have mentors, to have people you look up to and say, there's something about their life that I would like to have or like to be as far as a biblical character, having the character that we should have. But we should also look at that same person and say, they're a human being, and they are capable of sin. They are capable of falling short of what God had them to be. And so I'm not going to be shocked and act like the sky is falling when I find out that they're a human being and they sin. You fuel disappointment when you say, oh, that person will never do this. They'll never do this, this, or this. I can't imagine that they would ever do something like that. We set ourselves up for disappointment. And we also say my life will go exactly as planned. When you're a young person, you might map out your life, hopefully designing your life and doing everything God wanted you to be. And you say, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to go to this school. I'm going to get this degree. I'm going to be hired by this company to do this job, and I'll make this amount of money. And when I get all that squared away, I'm going to meet this type of person. And when I meet this type of person, they'll be exactly the type of person I think of in my mind of when I'm going to be married, and we're going to have this many kids, and they're going to be healthy, and they're going to be fine, and we're going to live in this place and have this type of house and drive these type of cars, and boy, life is just going to line up exactly like I want it to be. And that hardly ever happens. Hardly ever goes that way. Sometimes because we are not capable of getting to those places, sometimes it's because of things other people do or don't do. We cannot prevent illness from happening in this life. We can't stop others and their failings and how that affects our lives. We cannot walk into that office and say, you have to hire me. This is the job that I've pictured in my life that I was going to have when I was 15 years old, and here I am, I'm supposed to have this job. You can't force them to give you that job. Life doesn't go as planned. James talks about that in his book, James chapter 4. He said, you have a plan of life that you're going to go in this city and you're going to sell this and start a business and make a profit. He said, what you ought to say about life is, as the Lord wills, this is what we're going to do. Have a plan. Have a goal in life. All the while thinking, if the Lord wills, this is what I'm going to do. Lord willing, this is what will happen. It's a lot harder to be disappointed in life when you say, if the Lord wills, this is going to happen. So when it doesn't happen, you say, okay, we adjust and do something differently. What are the causes? What causes disappointment? We've talked about some of this already. Unrealistic expectations. But really also failing to do your best. A lot of people have an ambition and drive and goals in life. And they say, this is, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And then they get there and then they don't do their best. They don't try hard enough. They don't follow through. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Whatever it is you're doing, do it with all of your might. Solomon in that book says, you know, that's a way to use what God's given you, is to use it well, to do your best. But maybe the biggest cause of disappointment in life is when we develop a horizontal view of life. And that is that all that we see and all that we discuss and all that we think about is what's on the horizon, what we see across life. You look on the internet, you look on the television, you see wherever you find your news, you get your news, and you find the tragedies in life and the accidents and the pain and the suffering that gets talked about and gets the headline. You think about that all day, that's disappointing. You think about all the misery in this life that there's a lot of, all the difficult things that happen in this life, and that is very disappointing, because every single day you're going to see a headline about somebody did something wrong, something bad. And they're not going to put in the headline a good thing that happened, or at least it's very rare. You're going to think all of life and everybody's just out there doing the wrong thing every day, because that's all you see. Because your life perspective is very horizontal. You're just looking at all the things on this earth. But the Bible says don't have a horizontal view of life. The Bible says have a vertical view. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, set your mind on things above. Look up. Think about things that are spiritual. Think about heaven. Think about good things. It's hard to be really disappointed in life. It's harder to have that doom and gloom perspective when you're thinking about good things. Paul said the same thing in Philippians chapter 4. He listed all those, he said, whatever's pure and lovely and good reputation, and all those good things. He said, dwell on these things. Think on these things. Don't you think that's exactly what Paul did while he was writing that letter to the Philippians? Because he was in a prison when he wrote that. Don't you think that helped him get through prison life? By thinking about those things. Apostle Paul always had a vertical view of life. He said, I know where I am. I know where I'm living. I'm living on this earth. I know the least of the apostles. I know that I used to persecute the church. But for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, Philippians 1:21. He said, thinking spiritually, when I think about what I do in this life, it's all about Christ. It's not about job. It's not about leisure. It's not about those things. It's about living for Christ. And then to leave this earth to die, well, that's just going to be a gain. What a great way to think about life. He wasn't consumed with the latest disappointing headline. So let's think about some cures for disappointment. What are some cures? Some ways to get around that sinking feeling of disappointment? Well, we have to be patient. Problems don't get solved instantly. That person that you're disappointed in because they failed and they didn't do what they were supposed to do, well, you think they're going to change overnight? You think that's going to just fix instantly? No. It's going to take time. Probably took them a while to get where they are, so it's going to take them a while to get beyond that. Romans 8:28, of course, is a famous verse. For God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. There is no clock in that verse. There is no calendar in that verse. The verse does not say, 2 days after your disappointment, 2 days after things didn't work together, it's going to all work together. Don't, it's 2 days from now, so just wait for that to fall into place. And in some cases, all things working together are not going to work together until we're in heaven. Because this is a world of sin and death. This is a world of human beings. This is a world of people who don't even believe in God. And we may not have everything work out exactly right and fit perfectly. That may not happen until we go to heaven. That is the ultimate working out for us. Imagine if heaven were not beyond this life. How much worse this world would be, and how much worse our perspective would be. You have to forgive others. The Bible says this in many places, including Ephesians chapter 4. Forgive others. Let that go. Remove that tension between you and someone else. Every time I see this person, I can think of the bad thing they did. Or every time I can see this person, I can think, you know what? I'm not going to carry that anymore. I'm not going to carry that issue anymore. When we're forgiven by God, God says that guilt that is between you and me, that sin, just no longer exists. that doesn't exist anymore. That's gone. Book of Psalms says, as far as east is from the west, so as far as he has removed our sins from us. East never becomes west. We can't help but remember things people do. We have brains that work. Our memories work. We can't forgive and forget. That's a myth. But we said earlier, the Bible never told you to do something you can't do. So you can do the first part. You can forgive. And it's going to be difficult. And you're going to feel like that other person is winning. And you're going to feel like that they deserve worse. That they deserve punishment. They deserve pain. And I don't want to forgive because they're just going to be let off the hook. And if you think along those lines, you think that way, I just want you to think about Jesus on the cross with nails in his hands and nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head, looking at these people who had just put him in that situation. I don't think any of us have ever been crucified. Jesus in that situation looking down at those people and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or in other words, Father, forgive them because they're ignorant. And most of the time, when somebody sins against you, they are doing so because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how bad it's going to hurt you. They don't know how bad it's going to hurt them to do what they did. And you look at that and you say, that person acted in ignorance. Either because they didn't know the Bible, they didn't care. They know the Bible, they didn't care how much it hurt, don't know how much it's going to hurt them, don't know how much it's going to hurt somebody's future. They don't know a lot of things. And so we forgive. Because it removes that burden from us. It won't be easy. Maybe the most difficult thing we do is believers. When we think about Jesus on the cross and wanting the forgiveness of those who mistreated him so badly. Another cure for disappointment is that we learn from past disappointments. We look back and we say, I failed in the past, but that doesn't mean I have to keep failing in the future. If I'm disappointed in myself, well, learn. Adapt, grow. I'm not going to do that again. I need to stop making that poor decision. Amazing how many times people fail over and over again. This is my way of doing it. This is my method. This is my way. Okay? And it's never worked. We're going to keep doing it. You know that you're already thinking about it. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So many people think, well, I'm just going to keep doing this over and over again. Just magically things are going to change and the results will be different. We all have enough humility to say, hey, it's never worked before, so I might need to listen to somebody else and try their method. We just have to learn from our past disappointments. It's very inspiring when we see people do that. We see people make those changes. I remember talking to somebody once, an alcoholic. Been sober for about 15 years. And he said, when I was an alcoholic, I was doing the same things all the time, and I wouldn't listen to anybody. Nobody could tell me I was an alcoholic. Nobody could tell me that I was wrong. Nobody could tell me that I was wrong in the sight of God for how I was living my life. And he said, finally, his words, he said, I just found the humility to say, this isn't working. I'm tired of the headaches. I'm tired of the hangovers. I'm tired of missing work. I'm tired of lost pay. I'm tired of thinking about the divorce that was caused by this and the lasting impact of that. And 15 years later, still hasn't taken a dream and seeing how his life has totally changed. He said, I had to go another way. My way didn't work. My way was sending my life in the wrong direction. He saw all those disappointing days and said, I won't do that anymore. I want to live differently. And we need to lean on the Lord. We need to remember in Hebrews chapter 13 what the Bible says about the Lord. The Lord doesn't change. Same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to remember God's presence. We need to remember God's work in our lives. We pray because we feel that God, we believe that God will affect our days, our living on this earth. And we need to simply lean on Him and say, you're part of this. It's not all up to me to accomplish this or to do this. I'm going to lean on you, trust in the Lord. And He'll make your path straight. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. It's a good quotation. It's a good line. There's a lot of truth in it, mainly because it comes from Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said something very similar. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. Paul's saying, what we're going through now are moments. They are occasional. They're here and there. We've had many more good days than bad days. He considered his own life. He said, producing for us, he's including himself in this. So all the bad things Paul went through as a missionary, he said, that I consider to be a momentary light affliction. But what is it doing for us? What direction are we headed in by going through these things? It's producing for us an eternal weight of glory. A heavy amount of glory that does not end. It's not spread like our affliction. It's not here and there, hit and miss. It is eternal. It was on and on. But if we let our disappointments move us away from God, we let our disappointments erode our faith, we'll never get to experience the eternal weight of glory. We cannot abandon our faith simply because we're disappointed ourselves or other people. We must stay committed to Him. You need to begin your walk with the Lord this morning by giving your life to Christ, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. We would love to do that for you today. If you need prayers this morning because your faith is weak, because there's a burden on your mind, on your heart that needs to be lifted, the Bible says that the faithful need to encourage and restore the one who is called in any trespass. So we encourage you to respond if that's what you need. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.